sometimes he would, you know, he would, when you were alone, especially walking on alms round to the village, he would usually let the others go ahead, and he had a very deliberate pace, especially as he got older. And it wasn't frail, but it was deliberate, and time didn't particularly mean anything. And sometimes it would just be the two of us, and you know, the sun is starting to come up, and it's just the only two people in sight, and it's bright morning sunlight, and it's quiet of the countryside, and you know, he would just turn around and look at you, and it's like, you know, he just saw right. You feel like he's shining this big beacon on you, and he saw right into you and through you, and it's like panic. And then he'd come out with something unexpected. And one morning he turned around and he stopped and looked at me like that. And you know, there was no exit. And I thought, you know, he's really going to let me have it now. And I, you know, try to remember what you did wrong recently. And he said, "Good morning, Mr. Dumb." He said it in English, and I never heard him speak a word of English. And I stood there. "What was that?" And he said, and then he said in Thai, "I'm studying English." He said, "Was that right?" And another time he was asking me about, also, I think this was coming back from alms round, and we took a detour around the wall of the monastery, and asking me about my buddy Achan Sinuwin. And there are lots of Sinuwin stories. And I was always intrigued by this bit. Why did he always say, or why did I hear the reports that Lumpa said, "If Sinuwin is suffering, I'm happy. If Sinuwin is unhappy, I raise my hands and Anjali." So why would he say this? And I heard him say to the lay people once that Sinuwin just wants to take it easy now. He saw me sitting on my big cushion, so he decided, you know, he wanted to have one too. And he said Sinuwin wanted to be the general without ever being the foot soldier. And then he became abbot, and then he was always complaining, "I can't do the all-night sittings, I can't do this, can't do that, I've got ulcers." And so Achan Cha said, you know, this guy really doesn't want to deal with things. And, you know, he got in a position being abbot where nobody can, you know, there's so much deference that nobody can say anything to him except Achan Cha. So Sinuwin would stay away from Achan Cha, even though his monastery wasn't too far away. It's like, before I met him at his monastery, I never saw his face at Wat Bapong, and I think this was why. So, anyhow, he was asking me about the different abbots that I'd stayed with in his monasteries, and then he had, "What about Sinuwin?" And Sinuwin was somebody I had a great deal of affection and appreciation for, because he was very patient with me, and he felt the Westerners were very sincere, and he was fairly open-minded, and he had a good sense of humor, but I said, you know, I sort of came around to the view that he was a little bit lazy and just like to have a good time. And Achan Cha said, "Yeah, just like me." I didn't know what to say to that. He said, "I've really got a lot of defilements for upon you. I like to fool around and have a good time." Didn't say anything. And then, he was such a good actor in his timing and his gestures and his change of tone. And in this conspiratorial manner, he said to me, "I'm going to disrobe." And I want you to help me find a nice girl. So I don't know if he would have said this to a Thai person. So I think he liked having us around, and he did right by us, and you never knew what to expect. Is